Blog Talk Radio.
Let the kings worship the Lord. Let me hear your words of worship. Let me hear your words of worship. Come on, y'all, talk to them. Come.
Aristocratic.
Listen, the goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there is power when you speak.
Mindful
of the words you release. See, I know that life has challenged you, but the King in me came to speak to the King in you. You were born to rule, and I came to tell you. Let the kings worship him today. Let the kings worship him. Come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic dynasty. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. I know that life has thrown you some curves, but the King in me, the ruler in me came to speak to the ruler in you. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a King in you. What has happened? The head has become the tail, the lender has become the borrower. What has happened to you? We speak to you today. Is there no King in you? You cry out like a woman in travail. Inner King, and I came to help you find your inner King. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a King. I know that some of you have been molested. I know that some of you have been struggling. I know that some of you have been talked about. I know that some of you have got lower self-esteem, but I came to tell you that there is a King in you. I know that some of you are struggling with addictions. I know that some of you are struggling with financial issues. I know that some of you don't feel like you're smart. You don't feel like you look good. You don't feel like you got what it takes. But I came to tell you that there's a King in you. I know you don't feel well. I know you don't think you look the part. I know that you don't think you got the skills. But I came to tell you that there is a King in you. If there's a King in you, I want you to stand up and let me know you're out there. Where are the kings tonight? Where are the kings? Forget about what you've been through. You are a King.
There is
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to a Sunday morning here at Kingdom Keys. I am your host, Minister Andrea, and I'm excited to have you here this morning. What a week we got through last week, and now we're at the beginning of a new week. I'm praying that your last week was blessed, that you found joy, that you found peace, that it overtook you. And if not, that this week will be the week that you will accomplish those goals, that you will do those things that you've been looking to do, that you will have success this week, but not only have success, but also have peace in your life. I want you to have joy this week, not happiness, because happiness is based on things that happen that tickle your funny bone or delight your heart, but rather I want you to find joy. Embrace joy this week. Only God can give you that joy. No man, no woman, no child, no thing can take it away. So embrace joy this week. Amen. Well, welcome to Kingdom Keys this morning. I'm excited to have you. If you have not tuned into my Royal Court Radio broadcast family throughout the week, you have missed greatness. Oh, my goodness. There are so many people I'm blessed to have in my family, the Royal Court family, and it's exciting to hear what God says through them. You can find us on Facebook at the Royal Court Radio broadcast and on Instagram. Look us up. There are some shows. Tune into, tap into. You definitely want to be blessed with the words of inspiration that come from the family. On Sundays, you have Kingdom Keys with me at 7 a.m. Mondays is Divorce Not Damaged with Queen Najima Adeh at 8 p.m. On Tuesdays, we have I Am Her with Queen Nisha Webb at 8:30 p.m. Tuesdays is Majestic Living with Queen Deborah Shy at 8 p.m. Thursday, Fit for the Kingdom with Queen Pandora Kay at 7 p.m. And on Saturdays, Divine Connections with King Demetrius Aldridge at 2 p.m. If you missed any shows this week, go onto our Facebook page. They are in our group, and you can listen to it and just get some information, some knowledge, some wisdom within you that'll help you for not only today or tomorrow, but for years to come. Some insight, some nuggets, some gems, some jewels, some truths that you need to help you foster throughout the rest of your week. I'm just excited to be a part of this family. You have no idea. So many things that I'm learning and I'm sitting and I'm chewing on. Because I want to be a better person. I want to be better. That's my goal. We keep talking about living the best life. I want to be better. better and better. And as I get better, the best is yet to come. So tune in to the Royal Court Broadcast family Sunday through Saturday. There's something for everyone. So tune in. King in You by Donald Lawrence. I told you we start the show with it every week, and every time I listen to it, I get something from it. I don't own the rights to that song, but I love it so much. And today what I heard, Donald Lawrence said, I found the king within me. So I'm going to help you find the king in you, but I focus on I found the king within myself. That's so important for two reasons. He found the king within himself. So it's important to know that even as people are speaking into you, even as we're pouring into you, you have to ultimately make the decision to see the king in yourself, to see the king within you. You have to see the king. Someone can tell you a million times how great you are, but until you believe it, you'll never walk into it. So you have to know for yourself that there's a king within you, number one, but number two, you've got to find it. You've got to do things that will set you apart, that'll consecrate you, that'll elevate you, that'll push you forward. You've got to be willing to do the work so that the king within yourself can be pulled out and you can recognize it. The other thing about it is he found the king within himself, he said. So he wants to help you find the king within you. It's so important to surround yourself with people that are going to help pull greatness out of you. It's important to find people who believe in you. I don't mean you want to have yes men. You never want to be surrounded by people who constantly tell you yes, who constantly tell you you're doing everything right, who constantly tell you your boo-boo does not stink. No, you want real people around you that call you out when it's time for you to be called out or bring conviction when it's time for conviction, but they do it with love. You also want to be around people who actually see the vision that God has placed within you. Everyone can't see it, and there are some people who won't ever fully see it. However, it's important to have people who know that God did put a vision within you and that the season may not be now to walk it out. The season may be to pause. It may be to glean from other people or other things, serve other people, learn from other people. They need to recognize where you are in your walk so that they direct you correctly. So when you go to them, that they're honestly hearing from God and can tell you what it is that he has for you. They should be confirming what you already know because you've already spent time on your knees with him. You've already been in his presence, so you know what it is you're supposed to do. But these people confirm it, or they bring resources or connections. They allow you to move into your kingdom freely. So I like what he said. First, he said, I found the king within myself. So he had to recognize that there was a king in him, pulling it out. He's learning about the king in him. He's walking into his kingship, maybe not fully, because there are days you're going to walk into your kingship 10%, some days 20%, maybe some days 100%, maybe some days 75%. I don't know the percentage, but every day you need to walk into your kingship, and sometimes you don't feel as if you're moving forward, and that's okay. Shake it off, dust it off, and continue moving forward. Don't give up because everything doesn't look the way you want it to look, or because you made a misstep, or you fell off, or you got lazy, or you procrastinated, or you move left when you should have moved right. Shake that off. Ask forgiveness, forgive yourself, and continue moving forward because you still are a king. There is still greatness within you. There's still victory and success. There are still things that God has placed within you that need to be accomplished. Don't get so caught up in the misstep. Don't get so caught up in the mistake. Don't get so caught up in the moment of vulnerability or the moment of realness or the moment of humanity within yourself where you didn't do it. There was no excuse. There was no justification. You just did it. Don't get caught up in that. Shake that off. Don't condemn yourself, and don't allow others to condemn you either. And move forward. Walk into your kingship. Walk into your purpose. Walk into your goals, your things that God has placed within you. It's time to walk. Walk more, talk less. That's the season where you ask forgiveness and you continue moving forward. Forgive yourself within that, okay? So there is a king within you. Find that king within yourself. You've got to believe what God said about you. That's so important. That's where you will find victory. You believing what God said. Yes, it's good. It's important. It's wonderful. It's necessary to believe God. Now you've got to believe what he says about you. So important that you believe what he says. He called you out to be whatever it is that he called you to be and to become. So it's important. You've got to believe it for yourself. Amen. So this week, shake the dust off that you've been sitting. You haven't been moving forward. You haven't been walking into your destiny, into the purpose that God placed within you. You've been lackadaisical. So now it's time to dust all that off. Dust off all the excuses, all the justifications. Get rid of them. Put them, throw them away. Forgive yourself, because you know when we don't do things we're supposed to, we're so hard on ourselves, and it's hard for us to move forward because we beat ourselves up. So shake it off, let it go, forgive yourself, and continue where you left off. Just pick it up. You don't have to start back to the very beginning unless God tells you to, but start. That's important. You can't finish if you never start. And that's for someone today. You got to get moving. It's time. You've been stalled long enough. You've been stagnant long enough. It's time to press the accelerator. Get up off that brake and press that accelerator and move forward. So today, thank you, Holy Spirit, for whoever that was for, especially for myself, because I needed to hear it as well. We're in the book of Psalms. I'm looking at the 23rd Psalm right now, and I know you're saying, Andrea, didn't we read that yesterday, but we just discussed one stanza. I have something else for us today. I'm reading out of the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we come to you this morning asking, Lord, that you would have your way in this service, Lord God, that you would give me the words to say and allow those that are listening to hear what it is that you need them to hear, that seeds will be planted, Lord God, that will be watered, Lord God, and you will get the increase as you see fit, Father God. We're praying right now, Lord God, that anything that is unlike you, you will remove right now from me, Lord God. I surrender myself to you, and I ask, Lord God, that you would have your way. Take over me, Father. Give me the words to speak, Lord. Let the meditations of my mouth and of my heart be approved in your sight, Lord God. For you are my redeemer and my strength, Lord. I bless your name, Lord God, and I thank you for every listener today, Lord God, and who will listen in the future, that you would bless their lives abundantly, Lord God, that you would pour into them all that they need to continue on, Lord God. As a matter of fact, stir up what you've already poured within them, because you've already given us those things that are necessary, Lord God, for us to be victorious. We walk into our kingship, our kingness today, Lord God, and we ask that you would just guide and direct our footsteps, lead our pathways, Lord God. We honor you, and we thank you in advance for healing, deliverance, restoration, and breakthrough. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you do. Thank you for your love. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Be prepared. God gave me this word actually last Sunday when I spoke with you. though I walk. As I delivered that message, he gave me be prepared. And I thought about it and I asked God, be prepared. What, Lord God, are we preparing for? What is it that I need to see? And he showed me this stanza. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's in the King James. And then I looked at it in the easy to read version. You prepared a meal for me in front of my enemies. You welcomed me as an honored guest. My cup is full and spilling over. Be prepared. And I have a simple message that I want to share with you this morning that he put in my heart, and he's been talking with me throughout this week to share with you. So many times in our lives, we want people to be removed from our lives. We want peace, and we want people to be removed that cause tension, that cause storms, that cause drama, that cause discourse. We want them removed from our lives. And something that stuck out to me as I listened to ministers and apostles and pastors and people discuss this psalm, it's hard for God to bless you if he wants to bless you in front of your enemies and you constantly ask for him to remove them. He wants to bless you in front of them. And so in order to do that, there needs to be some enemies. I've heard that. And it's so profound. But God shared something with me that just kind of like knocked my socks off. We pray for people to be removed. And oftentimes it's haters. It's those negative people. It's those that have caused us pain or heartache or heartbreak or mistrust, distrust, that have knifed us in the back, that talk about us behind our backs or in our face, those shady, petty people, those people who hate on us, who don't see the good in us. And God revealed something to me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can I share something with you that he shared with me that knocked my socks off? The majority of our enemies are not people who hate us or who want bad for us totally. A lot of the times our enemies are those that we embrace, those we love, those we trust, those we believe in. Yes, I'm talking about your family. And I'm talking about your friends. I'm talking about your associates, the associations you have. And it knocked my socks off because we have family members, we have friends, and I'm not just talking about frenemies, I'm talking about straight up friends that wish bad for us, that don't want to see us accomplish anything, that want us to fail. And so when we ask God to remove people who would do us harm, who wish bad upon us, our enemies, we look at the people who we outright dislike or people who outright dislike us. It's blatant and it's in our faces. But we're shielded times because there are people who are the closest to us that we can't see. We see what they want us to see, but we don't see what their ulterior motives are. We don't discern that they are close to us physically, but far removed from us emotionally, mentally, in their hearts. There is hatred, there is jealousy, there is envy. And we invite them into our circle, and we embrace them, we love on them, we bless them, we give them, we encourage them, not realizing that they're taking, but are giving nothing. And we open our arms and welcome people. There have been moments in time where we have embraced friends quicker, sooner, and much deeper than we have family members because they have been the yes-sayers,
not naysayers, but the yes-sayers that told you you could do everything, but they're not there to support you. They say, yes, you can do everything, but they're not there when you need an extra set of hands. They say, yes, that you could do everything, but in secret, they're like, that child can't do it. God bless him. He thinks he can do it, but he can't. In secret, they're praying against you. In secret, they're talking about you. They're putting their mouths on you. Yet, we embrace them. And as we pray for God to remove our enemies, we wonder why sometimes there's a shift in friendship. We wonder why there's a shift in familyship. Why people disappear or we can't hear from them, or there's a distance that we feel, a disconnect that we feel. Well, your enemy is not just the blatant person that you dislike, but there are times that it's that family member. It's times that it's that friend. It's time that it's that associate, that association that you have that is truly your enemy, but you can't see it. Sometimes when you're involved in a thing, it's hard to see clearly everything involved. So you need to have those that truly have your back around you so that they can see clearly what's going on. To have people around, and may not be physically in your presence, they could be 10 states away. They could be 5 states away. They could be 2 countries away. But because they're so ingrained in God, because they're praying on your behalf, because they're praying for your best, your better, that God gives them information that he's been trying to give you, but because it doesn't line up with what you want it to say, you ignore it, or because you're so busy running, you can't receive it. So these people who are intercessors have to come in, and God gives them clear sight as to what is going on in a situation, and they're able to see things that you can't. Your heart is too caught up in it. See, your family is not just mommy and daddy. It's not just brother and sister. It's not just aunt and uncle, grandmother, grandma, cousin. Family is also husband, wife, daughter, son. And so we have this dynamic of family. We have this dynamic of friendship. Just because they're in your circle doesn't mean that they mean you any good. Just because you're feeding them and speaking into them and giving to them doesn't mean that they're happy about it. Oh, yeah, they may be using you and getting from you what they want, but that doesn't mean they're excited because you're doing it. Oftentimes, jealousy takes over, and because you're able to do something, even though they need it, they resent it. Because you are giving it to them, they don't have it. There are people who want to take your place, your position, your station in life, but you're there, so they can't have it. So they're not happy about it, so they decide to get close enough to you to gain the benefits while they're trying to figure out how to replace you. And God shared this with me because here's what happens in life. I'm talking about me. I'm not going to talk about you because surely you don't know any of this. You don't have these people in your life. But I remember when I was in college, that's the time that sticks out the most clearly to me with this situation and this scenario. I had friends. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of friends from college that I'm still friends with. Like my best friend in college, I'm still great friends with. Like if I needed something, that's a phone call away, I promise you. And so we were in this circle, and there were about 5 of us. And we all, you know how there'll be a group, and there are some of you who are closer than others within the group, but you're still a group. Well, that's how we were at State, SCSU, baby. But that's how we were. And we went places, sometimes 5 deep, sometimes 2 deep, sometimes 3, 4 deep. It just depended on where we were going. And my girl, when I tell you we were good. But here's the thing. We also had friends on the outside of the circle. So we have friends that we embrace that the other friends may not have necessarily liked or adopted into their circle, if that makes sense. So friends that were connected to us that may not have been connected to others within the group. We have roommates that we friended and everything. And I tell you this because I wanted you to get into your mind that there are five of us that are super close that even to this day I'm still friends with the majority of them in that circle. And then we have friends who are outside that circle that we still spent time with. Well, while I was there, I was fortunate and blessed that I had great aunts. You know the story. They raised me to help my mom. She went through a divorce and she went back to work full time, went to school full time. So she really didn't have the time nor the resources to care for a child of 3, 4, however old I was at the time. So my aunt took me. They helped her. So she would go drop me off. They'd have me the whole day. I would stay weekends there. You know, I even lived with them a couple of times in my life. And I was so very close with my great aunt, Mary and Phyllis. I had aunts Francis and Georgiana that also helped out. They were 4 deep. That's who helped raise me. And, of course, their husbands and then another uncle. Okay, I'm not going to get into my whole family dynamic. But I'm specifically right now talking about Phyllis and Mary. So I went to college. And we know that didn't go well for me, but we're not focused on that today. We're focused on the care package. How many of you know that testimony about the care package? That every so often someone sends you something, whether it's family, whether it's friend, whether it's mentor, and in that box, that lovely, golden, beautiful box, are treats or clothes or something that will help you get through your time in school. I was fortunate and blessed that my aunt sent me a box twice a month, sometimes more. And within that box, because I was a junkie for sweets and candy and chips and soda and all of that. So within my box, which was a very big box, would be all kinds of things that I love, my favorite candies and cookies and potato chips and, oh my gosh, sodas and just all kinds of stuff in that box. But then there was also like soups and things that we could cook in the microwave and in the hot pot, because we weren't supposed to have them, but that's neither there nor or neither here nor there, forgive me, Lord. But it was just all kinds and types of manner of stuff. And then they would also put in maybe an outfit or two or jeans or just something, a pair of sneakers, new, you know, something. And then there would be the cash blessing as well. And all of that was great and wonderful, but then there would be the letter. It would be a one page from my Aunt Phyllis or my Aunt Mary that said a word of encouragement. So when I saw that brown box, it was happy day. But it wasn't just a happy day for me. It was a happy day for my circle because my circle knew if I eat, you eating. And it would come at the precise time, like I had run out of money or, you know, we went to the calf and the calf decided to lose their minds and make something that we just didn't want to eat. And this box would come and it'd be heavy because we'd be straight for at least a week and some days. Probably would have been longer if I didn't share, but I don't even understand what that is. When my brother was born, he taught me the art of sharing. I was 7 years old. I was 4 of him. He came into my life. I understood what sharing was, and from that moment on, I shared everything. So there was no Andrea could hold on to a box for 2 weeks. I was sharing. My crew, my posse, my squad, we were eating. We were eating well. Well, not only was my circle blessed, but also my roommate was blessed. And I knew that she had humble means, that her family wasn't able to do the things that my family was able to. I have a huge family. Not only do I have a huge family, I was one of the generation that we had, the cousins that lived in New Jersey, there weren't that many. It was myself and my cousin Peter. So we were really, really, really spoiled. So it was like because they didn't have children, they adopted the both of us as their children, so they spoiled us. They made sure we had. And they knew it was a burden for my parents to send me to school, so they wanted to help. So So I was blessed. But I knew her story and the fact that they didn't have. So when the box came, before I even gave to my crew, before I even helped my squad and hooked them up, I made sure she had. And so, you know, when it comes from a genuine place in your heart, when you really want to help someone, you don't think about anything else but helping that person. You think you're doing good, that you're blessing somebody because you've been blessed. Well, remember the circle, the five, they're strong and we're good and we're wonderful and they know me and I know them. We've spent like nights up just talking and politicking and just running our mouths and getting deep with each other. Well, I had two friends in that circle. Well, all of them were bold and spoke whatever it was. All of us did. All of us did. I'm sorry. There were five of us in all. I keep saying I had a squad of five. I had a squad of four. Me included was five. I apologize. Well, two of them in there, in that circle, were very, very, very vocal about me helping my roommate. They were against it. And they said, Andrea, we don't knock you for wanting to help and for doing good, but no, something's not right there. You might want to fall back. You may not want to do it. You may not want to bless her because, well, they didn't say it. I'm just using today's vernacular because I have no idea what we said back then. But they were ultimately saying, don't do it. Keep your stuff for yourself. We're not even saying it so that you'll give it to us. We're just saying it so that you don't give it to her because she, something not right about it. And you know, when you think you're doing good and great, people trying to tell you something, and if you're hard-headed like Andrea is, you tell them to hush. They don't know what they're talking about. It's great. It's wonderful. It's fine. Well, let's fast forward to we had some drama and issues, and I'm not going to go into all of that, and my roommate and I fell out. And it came to my attention that she had, behind my back, been talking some stuff, some lies. She had spread some rumors that were false. And back then, I wasn't saved or, you know, I didn't know God at all, really. I just knew, you know, this power that, you know, got angry and wiped out the earth. You know, I knew that God. I didn't have a relationship with him yet. So it was before salvation. Thank you, God, for salvation. But before salvation, I was a totally different person. I told you about Angie. She fought first, spoke later. She was the Incredible Hulk. I told you, I went from zero to a million in less than 0.5 seconds. And so once I found out all this information that she was saying about me, because one of the worst things you can do is talk about me and then not only talk about me but lie about it too. And I've had this happen so many different times in life. But anyway, so I found out, and I was 17, and I was a hothead. I mean, I was enraged, and I went and confronted her because her lies not only hurt my feelings, but it caused some relationships to be broken because of a lie. And so I was hot, I was angry, and I went and confronted her. Let's just say things did not go well. I got the nickname Baby Mike Tyson behind this. It did not go well. I didn't get expelled or suspended. That was a good thing. But one of the things, once the drama, the dust settled, and we were in mediation because we had to figure out what we were going to do because they knew it wasn't going to be good for her because I couldn't let it go. I wanted more than what happened in our room. And so they were like, we got to figure this out, who's moving where, you know, suspension was a topic, you know, all of this. So while talking, our dorm mother was like, what caused this? Because I thought you guys were great friends. You are together a lot. I see that you knew you two were laughing. You talk. You go to the store together. Andrea, I know that you've been helping her. Mind you, I didn't tell anybody this, but, you know, that's when you do something for people, God just, he tells it. She was like, so I don't understand. I thought you two were close. And she says out of her mouth, I can't stand that witch. And she didn't call me a witch. And it took two people sitting beside me and me taking a breath not to jump her right there in front of the house mother. everything. And she said, I've only been around her because she gives me things. I'm only friends with her because of what she could do for me. I don't like her. How do you, I mean, she thinks lowly of me. She looks down on me. And so I sat there, and I'm looking around like, who is she talking about? Who looks down on her? I don't. So I almost said a name. The house mom, our dorm person, said, do you look down on her? And I'm confused. I took that word from my girl, Danny, that's confused and puzzled. I said, no, I've been helping her. I said, this is my girl. I help people when I can. I'm not looking down at her. She said, she's always giving me stuff. And so our dorm mom was like, yeah. And she was like, well, she's looking down at me. She's acting like I can't afford it. And in my mind, I'm like, she can't. But I don't say anything. I just listen. And she goes on to say how I spoil, not spoil her, but I give her things because she doesn't have. So it's like I'm treating her like a charity case. And she hates it. And it's been building up in her. Because I act like she can't do for herself or her family can't get it for her. Now, family, because come here with me, I'm thinking they can. You told me this out of your mouth. I went to your home. You told me the story. I'm not looking down on you. And I didn't do it like, huh, you ain't got anything. Here you go. That's not how I did it. I was like, hey, what, do you want anything from the box? That's what I would do. I didn't, okay, here's your pile, you charity case. No, I would be like, hey, I got my box in. You want anything? And she would come over, and she would get first choice before I even picked. She sometimes picked the very things that I wanted, and I'd be like, but I was okay because I had cash too, so I could really go get it too. You know what I'm saying? So I never tried to set an atmosphere where she felt like I was giving to her out of pity or because I felt sorry for her or because I thought I was better than her. That wasn't even within me. That wasn't my motive. That's not even how I presented it. I did the same thing for my four girls. And so when she said it, a light bulb went off in my head that sometimes you think you're helping a person, but they're taking your motive the wrong way, and they're seeing things the wrong way. But instead of talking about it, they fix in their mind what you're doing or what the meaning is or what's behind it, and they'll start becoming resentful and have resentment and get angry. And in the back of there's also jealousy and envy. I had to learn this later on in life and speaking to my four amigas because they realized some things that I hadn't seen. There was a whole relationship. I told you broken relationships happen because of this. There was a relationship that I had with someone that she wanted. And she felt that because I was in the relationship, I was blocking her from it. So she decided that she had to get rid of me. There was a whole lot that came out from behind it. But what I want to get to you to understand today that this was my roommate. She has close physical access to me. She has emotional access, mental access, relational access, all of that. She's close to me, and she gets to share in what I've been blessed with, not because I felt sorry, but because I cared. So I would have never looked at her as an enemy. She was a friend. I loved on her. I went to her house. She visited me. We went to the store. We went to the mall. We went places. You know what I'm saying? When I went out or if I had a date or if I was going somewhere, I always invited her. Even as the four would roll their eyes sometimes and be like, Still, I would invite. I'm doing. She was taking, but I didn't care because I had it. I had the invitation. I had the resources. But yet this person hated me. This might sound familiar to you a little bit, how there was a man who had a circle, and he loved on and poured out what he had to his circle, and yet there was one that hated him. That might sound familiar to you. You'll catch it a little bit later. But what I want you to see is that you can have people that are so close to you. They're physically close to you. They're emotionally close to you. They're mentally close to you. They're relationally close to you. And they can hate you. They can be jealous of you. They can be envious of you. And you not see it. But there are those on the outside who do. There are those that can see what it really is. So sometimes, not sometimes, you need to listen and pray about the people around you. Now, I want to address this, and then we're going to go forward, because God and I have been talking about this for about a couple of few months. Yeah, I said a couple of few. It's the idea that if God didn't want someone in your life, or if God didn't want you to have an experience, he would block it. I've been going back and forth with God about this. And the reason I've been going back and forth about it is because I've heard both sides. I've heard people who say God blocked it. And I've heard people say, well, God must have wanted it because he didn't block it. And they've been going back and forth in different areas of my life, on the job, in school, around my kids, their friends, my friends, family. This has been a hot topic the last couple of months. And when I sat down with God, and I don't know who this is for, but I need you to understand this. Everything that happens in your life, God allows. There's no particular thing that goes past God without his allowance. Understand me clearly. God allows everything that happens in your life. There's nothing that can't happen that he doesn't allow. He allows everything to happen. So understand that. But there's this thing that you need to understand called God's perfect will. In God's perfect will, that means we obey everything that he gives us. We do it and we get it done. We follow him 100%. We have 100% blind faith. And we walk out and we do his will, and we do not sin, we do not fall, we do not fall short, we do not get off the path, we do everything in his perfect will. But God has this other thing, and it's called permissive will. In God's permissive will, he allows us the freedom, and this is where we have free will, free choice, the freedom to do what it is we are going to do, things that we want to do, people that we meet and link up with that he would have never wanted us to link up with, people that we associate with that he would have never put for us to associate with. He allows it in his permissive will. Why? Because God is a gentleman. God does not force you to do anything. He gave you free will so that you would freely choose him, that you would freely choose his will, that you would freely choose to be obedient and walk in faith and sacrifice to him. Free choice. So within his permissive will is the area where we choose people, where we choose relationships, where we choose friendships, where we choose association, and then we wonder when we choose this why our heart got broken and why God didn't block our heart being broken. Well, again, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything. So he allowed that person in your life, and even though he allowed it, it doesn't mean that's what he wanted for you. He had somebody else at a different place, at a different time, dusted off and ready for you, but you had to choose to walk in loneliness for a year or two in order to meet who he had for you, but instead you decided that loneliness was too much for you, that you didn't want it anymore, that you were tired of seeing all your friends in relationships, all your friends posting on Facebook that they is engaged and married now, that you decided that you were going to go on your own and select boo-boo the fool, and you went that way. And God looked at the person he had for you and said, well, not now. She has to go, or he has to go down the pathway that they chose. That wasn't my perfect will, but I'm going to allow it in my permissive will. So I wanted to say that because so many people have asked the question, if God knew that this person was going to distract me, disrupt me, and break my heart, why didn't he stop it? God isn't, because you are free to choose. It's just like a parent when you know you have something for your child and you're excited to give it to them, but on that day, they decide that they're going to do something you told them not to do before, or they decide that they're going to do their own thing, so now you can't even give them the reward that you were going to give them. They got to walk out the punishment for doing or choosing the wrong path, or the wrong thing, or the wrong way. Eventually, that reward may be given to them, maybe, but they got to go walk out what it is that they decided to do. It's the same thing with us. So we choose people sometimes without talking to God. We choose relationships sometimes without talking to God, and we get involved in this, and then when it goes wrong, when our heart is broken, or we find out they're the son of Satan or Jezebel's twin, we want to cry and whine and scream and moan and say, God, why didn't you block it? God, why did you allow them in my life? And God said, I allow everything. But you walked in my permissive will instead of my perfect will for you. So go on and deal with what you have to deal with now. You open up Pandora's box. Now you go and figure out a way to close and lock it back, and I'll be waiting over here. I'm not going to move from where I was the entire time. I'll wait for you to come back to where I am. And I had to share that with you so that you will understand this part of the scripture. God prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Your enemies could be the closest people to you. Your enemies could be the very people who have filled your heart, that you're loving on, that you're doing for, that you're praying for, that you're spending time with, that you're planning your wedding with, that could be the very same people. Here's what God also shared with me. And I know I'm all over the place, but there was so much revelation this week. There are times that God is going to bless you in front of people, and you got to take it. Andrea, what do you mean by that? You know, there are times that God does things for us, and we really kind of want to downplay it. We really want to hide it. We really don't want to make a big deal about it for whatever reason. For whatever reason it is, we don't want to make a big deal about it because we feel as if, number one, maybe we don't deserve it. Number two, we don't want people to be mad because we were blessed with it. Number three, we may not want people to be envious and jealous of what we have. Number four, we feel as if they're going to say something negative and take the joy that we have for it or the happiness that we have about it away from us. Five, they're going to bring up every bad thing that we've done. Six, they're going to remind us what they did for us and how come we got this and we haven't done what we're supposed to do for them. Or seven, they're going to be haters. But for whatever reason, we want God to bless us, but we're like, let's not make a big deal about it. God, just, you know, go ahead and do it and thank you. But I'm here to tell you that in this season, God is going to blow your mind in front of the very people you've been trying to hide from. He prepares a table before me. So it's going to go in front, not behind you, but in front, where not only can you see it, but your family, your friends, your frenemies, your enemies can see it. It's going to be right in their faces. And you can't be like, well, thanks God. You're going to have to be like, hallelujah! You're going to have to scream. You're going to thank him. You're going to dance. You're going to shout because you've been through hell. And now your breakthrough is coming. And how dare you try to hide the goodness of God? He's doing it for a purpose. He's blessing you for a purpose. He's doing it in front of the very people talking behind your back for a purpose because he is God. And number one, you've been doing things in secret for him. And God said, what you do for me in secret, I will bless you for in public. So he's being scriptural. But not only that, there is a reason that he's doing it. And one of those reasons might just be so you can see people for who they truly are. So that for once, the blinders will be ripped off of your eyes and you can see exactly who is for you and who is against you. Another reason could be because they needed to see you getting blessed. So they understood that their attacks, their strategies, their motives can't cause you to fall. All the lies they've told about you, all the things that they said about you, all the things that they've done, all the people they've been lying to will see that they're a fraud, that they are not who they claim to be, that the stories they've been telling about you are false. They have borne false witness against you. God is doing it in front of them. So that way they can't hide any longer. They're who they are, you are who you are, and you each get to see who each other is. So before you, in the presence of your enemy, this is what I love. The table is before you, so you can't hide it. You can't cover it up. It's before you, and it's in the presence of your enemy. So presence of your enemies, they can't touch it. They can't take it. They can't put their mouth on it. They can't rip it from you. It's in their presence, but they can't touch it. They can't do anything with it. They got to see it. They have to watch others embrace it and others congratulate you and others truly be happy for you. And hot coals will burn on their head because you're not rubbing it in. You're not doing it. God is doing it for you. He's blessing you big time, table in the presence of your enemies. You're not doing it. You're just doing what God has asked you to do. You're being faithful and obedient and sacrificing for him. You're just moving forward, continuing to do the things he's asked you to do. And because of your obedience and your faithfulness and that faith, he's going to bless you. We know that God has blessed us in secret sometimes. You know those blessings. That was like just you and him, and he's done something. You're like, oh, my gosh, mind blown. Thank you, Lord. You praise him. You worship, and you moved on. Well, not this time. In the presence of your enemy. And here's the thing. As I continue to read, God is so awesome. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thou anointest my head with oil. In the easy to read, you welcomed me as an honored guest. I looked at that, and that part has always tickled my brain. You anointest my head with oil. What, Lord, what? When in biblical times, a guest, an honored guest, a revered guest, a guest that you were excited about having, came to the house of the host would clean them off with oil. They would run this sweet-smelling oil over the person. Remember Mary and the alabaster box at Jesus' feet? It's like that. So when an honored guest comes, they would anoint them with oil to show those that were there, this is a respected, honored guest. I'm privileged and honored to have this person here. I'm excited and grateful for this person to be here. So the honored guest, not just a guest, but the honored guest was anointed with oil. Oil was poured over them. So he anoints your head with oil. So not only is he preparing a table before you in the presence of those who talk badly about you, those who stab you in the back, those that dislike you, those in your circle that are hating on you, he's anointing your head with oil. He's going to show them that not only is he blessing you, but you are honored in his sight, that you are worthy in his sight, that he is excited to have you, that you are special and precious to him. So there's going to be an anointing that happens, not physically with oil, but there's going to be reverence. People are going to laud on you. People are going to brag on you or congratulate you. There's going to be a light shining on you where God is smiling on you. He anointed my head with oil. It's going to be so apparent to the people watching and seeing that you are favored by God, that he honors you. So not only is he going to bless you with this table, and when I think about the table, it just like blows my mind. Because when you ask God for a thing, I don't know if you found this to be the case, but for me, when you ask God for something, he does more than what you ask for. He blesses you so big. It's like, I just wanted a piece of, but he gave you the whole thing. So I'm just seeing like this table just full of blessing, like overflowing. My cup runneth over. My cup is full and spilling over. Have you ever poured a drink in a glass, in a cup, and you might have gotten distracted? And as you're pouring, you pour too much so that what you're pouring into the cup overflows and falls out of the side and it goes down the side and drips. Your cup is overflowing with blessings. So much so that you can share with others. My cup overflows. He's going to bless you so much that you are going to be overfilled. It's going to be much too much for you to handle. It's going to be more than you can do anything with. That's the blessing. It's going to overflow. So not only does the table, is it full, not only has he anointed your head to show those that you are honored, but he's going to continue pouring blessings so much so it's going to overflow. And all of this is within the presence of the very people who said you would never be anything, the very people who said you would never do anything, you would never amount to anything, that you were going to follow in the footsteps of your grandmama and your mama, and that you were going to be like your auntie or auntie, depending on where you come from, that you were just going to be that crackheaded baby, that you were going to be that dropout, that you were going to be that single mother, that you were going to be that teenage mother, that you were going to be that drug dealer, that pimp, that prostitute, that you were going to be that thief, that liar, that murderer, that you couldn't do anything beyond that. Well, God is going to bless you in front of all those people who have been close to you, that you love, that have hurt you, the father that walked away from you, the mother who mistreated you, the aunt who said that you were a hooker. Those people who you loved on, because we in the beginning spoke about your enemy, and your enemy just isn't the one that you knowingly know dislikes you or that you dislike, or it's the same for the both of you. It's going to be those people that you've been trying to get approval from, people who rejected you. It's going to be in front of people who hurt you, who backstabbed you, who lied on you, who spread rumors about you. It's going to be in front of these people, and you've got to hold your head up high and not be embarrassed, because God is going to bless you in front of them. You've got to take the blessings and say you deserve it. The king in you needs to pop up, jump up, and said, thank you, God, because you poured this into me before I was in my mother's womb. So I'm going to walk into the favor, the grace, the mercy, the blessings, the breakthrough, the deliverance, the healing that other people thought I shouldn't have. And I'm going to walk into it with my head held high because you honor me. That's why it's important. Every piece of this stanza is important because it goes hand in hand. You anoint my head, so that means you chose me. Even though woman said I was not worthy, I was not deserving, God, you chose me. Even knowing my background, even knowing my past, even know what I'm doing right now in this very moment, you chose to bless me. Even as people canceled me out, even as people said I was too black or too fat or too skinny or my hair wasn't long enough or I was too light or I acted like this or I acted like that or I wasn't able or I came from the projects or I came from the hood or I came from the suburbs or I came from the urban area, even as these people talked badly about me, you still chose me. Even though I wasn't planned by my parents, even though they didn't want me, even though they adopted me or gave me up for adoption, even though, God, you chose me. That's why your head has to be anointed with oil, because it's a sign that God chose you. No matter your circumstance, no matter your situation, God chose you. Even as people talk about you right here, right now, as you're listening to this message, know that God has chosen you. You don't have to argue. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to say, well, this is the reason why I got this promotion. No, you just walk into it. You don't have to explain, this is the reason why I got the house. This is the reason why I got the car. This is the reason why I got the degree. This is the reason why I got the job. No, you don't have to explain anything. Walk in it. God said, I chose you. And because I chose you, you deserve it. Not for anything you did, but because I chose you. And I'm God. Who goes against me? Who? Who can stand against? If God is for you, who? No one, not one. So you walk into those blessings and that breakthrough that God has for you because he's going to do it. You have faith to do what he's called you to do. You be obedient to what he's called you to do. And as he blesses you, let him break the roof off of whatever it is and bless you. Right in front of those very people that you've been taking. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The very people that you've been hiding behind, the very people you've been serving, the very people who have had the spotlight, the very people who have overlooked you, you take what God has and walk in it proudly because those people thought that all you were good for was serving them or helping them or doing for them, but God is about to show them he's the chosen, she's the chosen one. For this time, for this season, for right now, and you are going to have the spotlight. I just ask one thing, and God has been sharing this word with me all week. Walk in it with humility. Be humble. Don't let it go to your head. Don't be braggadocious, but walk in humility as God blesses you and still have that same heart. Do not do to others what has been done to you. You continue having that pure heart, that loving heart, that genuine concern about people. Because here's the thing. When I got burned that time by my ex-roommate, or the time I got burned by a friend, or the time I got burned by another friend, or the time I got backstabbed by a friend, or by the other time the rumors went from that friend, I could have stopped. I could have stopped being me. I could have stopped caring. I could have been nasty and having nobody around me. I could have because I have been hurt time after time, and it's the people who have been in my circle that I have cared about, that have had access to my heart, who have had access to my mind, who have had access to my wallet, to my house, to my family, that have stabbed me in the back. And I'm not telling you this for a woe is me. I'm not, because God has always sent me people to come and fill those places and spaces that I needed. God has sent. And he's even restored some relationships. But what I'm saying to you is that had I stopped right then, right there, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't still have a soft heart for people or care for people. One of my ministries is loving on people, even if they don't love on me back. I can't act like the people who don't speak to me or have attitudes with me or make up lies about me or exaggerate stories so they look good, so they look like the victim, when in all reality they're the villain. I can't stop. I can't stop being who I am. I've tried, and it hurts. It hurts to not be who God has called you to be. It's also hurting when you can't walk into the greatness that God walked you into because you dumbed yourself down or stepped out of the spotlight or dimmed your light for other people around you to be comfortable. God did not create you to be or to make other people comfortable. He's given you an assignment. He's given you purpose. He's given you a mission and a ministry, no matter what context it is. So you dumbing yourself down to make people comfortable and to like you and to accept you is not a part of the mission he sent you here for. You're here to please God, not man. So stop it today. Make up in your mind that you're going to walk into being that king that God called you to be. And I'm talking to men and women, because kingship is man, woman, male, female. So I'm talking to you both, all young to the oldest, youngest to the oldest. Stop being other than who God created you to be, to please other people. You're not here to please people. If truth be told, some of the people that God has called are going to have lonely lives. It does not mean they're not going to have friendships. It does not mean they're not going to get married. But God will call you to separate, not in the relationship, but you will have to go do things by yourself. So you have to, the lonely state that you're in sometimes is to strengthen you. So when God calls you to minister across the world and you have to be away from hubby or wifey for 2 weeks, you can do it. If you have to go to a mission trip, or if you have to go down the street without them, you'll be okay. If people who said that they would show up don't show up, you'll be okay doing it by yourself. That's what the season of loneliness is sometimes. It's for you to spend time in God's presence, for him to download everything he needs to download to you for that mission, that purpose, that one that he has for you. So when he calls you, if it's only just you, you can do it. Because he's already taught you how to be alone and how to worship and praise and minister alone, how to talk to people and feed people and to do things alone. So this way, you won't be stagnant if Ray Ray and them say, I can't meet with you today, I can't go with you today. You can still go on. You can still go forward. Yes, the Bible said he sent them out two by two, but what happens if that one disappears or that one is busy or that one can't do it? You can't stop. You've got to keep going forward. You're not going to be judged on them disappearing. He'll take care of them for that. He's going to look at you and say, but I called you to do. Why didn't you? And there are no excuses or justifications that are worthy. Just do it. I don't know who that was for, but God has called you to some things, and you've been sitting back, waiting for resources, waiting for people to come help you, waiting so you don't have to do it by yourself, and God said do it, even without the resources, even without the connections, even without the people. You just walk it by yourself. He's strengthened you for this time, so you walk out and do the things that you have to do. And he'll handle the rest. Remember, you do what you can do and allow God to do what you can't. You say, God, help me. I can't do this. Help. I can't do it without you. That's an honest prayer. I tell you this all the time. When I went through the struggle of eviction for the second or third time, and yes, I'm telling my business, and I didn't have it, and I was broken, and I didn't want to lose my place, I went to my knees, and I just said, God, help me. That was my prayer, and I just went into this cry, this wailing, because I didn't want to lose it. But I had done everything I could do, and I couldn't do anything else, nothing else. So I went to God, and I just said, God, help me. The most powerful prayer I've ever had. Because once I got done crying and moaning and weeping, and I gave it all. I gave it all to God. I laid it all at the altar, gave it all to him. And when I came up, the situation was still the same. But I had such a peace. And I think I posted that on Facebook this way. In prayer, you find peace. Even if your situations and circumstances don't change, there's this peace that comes over you when you surrender to God, because he's been waiting. I told you this whole time he's a gentleman, so he's not going to force his way into your situation. You got to invite him in. And your invitation is praying and saying, God, I need your help. God, help me. God, I need you. Please help me. Help Daddy, however you do it. But you got to invite him in. And then he'll come in. It may not be right at that second, right at that moment, but I promise you there's this peace. Now you've done all you can do. Because you tried all the steps, you did everything. But now the step that was missing was asking God to have his way in your situation. That is everything that you can do. That is all. There's nothing else. Once you call on God, what else? There's nothing. And then you let him handle it. You get up, wipe your face, take a bath, take a shower, put on some clean clothes and move forward. That sounds so much like David when he prayed for his son. When God said his son was going to die, he had Nathan tell him his son was going to die. Sounds just like that story. And he fasted and he prayed and he fasted and he prayed and he prayed and he fasted and his son died and the servants were too scared to tell him. And when they came in, he already knew. He said, he's dead. They said, yes. He said, okay, God, your will is done. He got up, washed himself, bathed, ate, took off his mourning clothes, put on his hallelujah outfit, and went on. And they didn't understand. But when you give your all to God, every burden, every weight, I promise you this is so true, and I'm going to let you go, but this is for somebody out there. I promise you, if you just lay naked before him, I don't mean physically naked. I mean emotionally, spiritually, mentally, relationally naked before him. You just honestly tell him everything and ask for his help. I promise you there is nothing like it. I've done it several times since then, even this week. Just a simple, God, I don't know what to do. I need your help. That's all he's waiting for. And there's this peace when you're honest with him. You know how we like to do those fake prayers? We just say things to be talking, but it's really not real because we're really not giving him our heart. We're not really opening up to him. Yes, God knows everything. He knew it before you even were born. But he will not go anywhere he's not invited. So you have to open up your mouth. Yes, he knows your situation. Yes, he knows you need help. Yes, he knows you can't do it by yourself, but he's waiting for you to open your mouth and say, help. That's what he's waiting for. You to be honest and say, you know, they talked about me, God, and it hurt my feelings. Help. Yeah, they rejected me, God, again. It hurt. Help. Yeah, they talked about my weight. They talked about my height. Yeah, they talked about my complexion. It hurt my feelings. Help. Yeah, he's talking about divorce. God, help. Yeah, she cheated on me. God, help. No, I don't have any finances, Lord God. My bank account is zero, and I've got to pay this and this. Help. Yes, my children are wilding out. They're acting up. I don't know what to do. Help. Yes, she betrayed me. Yes, she talked about me. Yes, the knife is in my back. Help. Yes, the doctor's report said this, Lord God, and they found this, and I'm scared. Help. Honest prayers matter. Because that's when you give God permission to do what he is ready to do. He said, if I knock, right? Something about that is in our scripture. He came to the door and knocked, and if the door is opened, he will come in. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. You have to invite him into your situation. You have to invite him into your relationship. You have to invite him into your life. You have to invite him into your worries, into your pain, into your heartache, into your heartbreak, into your fear, into your anxiety, into your doubt. You've got to invite God to come in. You open the door. He's there. He's knocking. Now invite him in and tell him what's real and what's honest. Let him figure it out. You go get rest. No need in both of you being up all night long. He's going to be up anyway. You give it to him and rest. That's what we mean when we say let go and let God. You're giving it to him. That's what we mean when we say casting your cares upon him. That's what we mean. Sometimes we say things and it's so cliche to say, but we don't explain what it means. And so people are saying it and they're not doing it, not because they don't want to, but because they don't know what it means. They don't understand. Letting go and letting God, casting your cares upon God are just what I just talked about. I'm going through this, this, and this, and this. Help. I'm scared. Help. I need you. Help. I'm broke. Help. I'm disgusted with myself. Help. I want to commit suicide. Help. I want to drink a drink. Help. I want to fall off the wagon. Help. I want to take cocaine. Help. Every situation in your life God can handle. Every. There is nothing that God can't handle. There's nothing. Nothing. Nothing under the sun that's new to God. Nothing. He's just waiting for an invitation. You already talked to everybody else and they didn't do anything. They couldn't help you. Why not talk to God who owns everything? Why not talk to the one that can do something about your situation? Why not? You don't talk to TT and Jerry and Jeffrey and Monty and Maybell. You don't talk to all them people. Why not talk to God? Mama and Daddy and Grandma, Nana and Nene and Mimi and all these. Why not talk to God? He actually can do something. He can send the resources. He can send the people. He can remove you from the situation. He can give you advice. He can give you steps to take. He can tell you to stay right there. Or he may not even answer right then and there, but you'll have a peace so that you can go forward and be focused. You wonder why you're so unfocused, because you're carrying all that on your shoulders. Give it to him. He said his yoke is easy, his burden is light. You're heavy. Give it to him. He can handle it. He can handle the weight of the whole entire galaxy and still have room, still have strength. Give it to him. I'm going to leave you with this. This season that you're in, we're talking about being better. God's going to blow your mind. I promise you that. There are some things and there's some people God is about to do some amazing things for. And he's going to do them in the presence of your enemies. But in order for you to enjoy it, you are going to have to release those burdens, those pains, those weights that you have been holding so that you can walk freely into joy, freely into peace, freely into love. There's some relationships that are waiting for you. Yeah, you got it wrong. Yeah, you chose wrong. Yeah, you did wrong. God has forgiven all that. Forgive yourself. Ask for forgiveness from whoever. And God has some mighty things waiting for you in your obedience. Yes, he does. But you're so heavy right now that if God were to bless you today, you would not be able to totally walk into it in joy. You couldn't. It's too much weighing you down. So you got to release those things, release those weights, release those people, release those things, release those actions and activities, release them. Give them over to God. So when he blesses you, You can walk into the freedom of them and enjoy them. God is blessing you not just for other people. Please hear me. He's blessing you because you've been praying and crying and asking for these things. And when he gives it to you, he wants you to enjoy it. He doesn't want to give it to you when you're sitting there burdened and weighed down and heavy and crying about something else. Think about parents. I use this because I'm a parent, so I see the resemblance between human, earthly parents and God our Father. If you have a child that you love and you want to bless them with something, you buy them a gift and you give it to them and they're sitting there talking about, thank you. It doesn't make you want to spend your money on another gift too quickly because they're worried about, oh, well, you know, this happened in school. So even though, you know, you gave a gift from your heart, you want them to be happy about it. You want them to feel joy. You want them to feel appreciative. You want them to be grateful. You want them to enjoy the gift you got from them. That's how God is. When he gives us something, he wants us to enjoy it, to use it for ministry. And I don't mean take it to the church. That's not what I mean. But everything that God gives can be used as a tool to open doors for other people, to bless others, to use with others, but mostly, too, to enjoy yourself. Even relationships are to be unto God. He blesses you with that spouse, that mate, not just for you two to be fulfilled, but so that you'll be a beacon of light for somebody else going through, so that you can minister and build the kingdom together. So things God blesses us with, think about it, and I'm going to end on this, whether it's that car or that job or that house or that church or that dress or those shoes, yes, I'm taking it all the way basic, it's for you to be comfortable, happy to share with others your testimony, because that pair of shoes may have cost in the store $500, but God told you to go to this place and they cost $5, and you wear them and you love them and you're looking good in them, and now you're smiling and happy and carefree, and you encounter somebody who needed to see a smile, and then you share with them, well, I got these shoes at such and such a place. They had a sale, and that mother may have needed some shoes for her son and she couldn't afford anything more than $10. Now you shared. You've been a blessing to her. You see how it works? So you're enjoying, you've blessed someone with knowledge, you've honored God. These are what God's gifts are supposed to do. It's not just for others. It's not just for you. It's not just for him. It's for all of us. All of us benefit when God blesses. I promise you, he does. He benefits, you benefit, others benefit when you honor the blessings of God. So this week, get them burdens off of you. Take those weights off. Give them to God honestly and leave them with him. When you give it to him, walk off, shake it off, dust it off, and keep it moving. Don't rehearse it. Don't bring it back up. Don't take it from him talking about, how am I going to do this? How's it going to happen? You leave it with him and you move on. When he tells you to move, you move just like that. If he tells you to go walk around that building 7 times, you go do it. If he tells you to go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times, you go do it. Don't question it. Just do it, because he has something planned to get you out of that situation. But you got to be obedient and you got to sacrifice. You got to walk in faith. And you got to do it boldly. That's my message for today. Be prepared, because God is going to do it. Be ready for it. Be prepared for it. It's about to happen. You are so close, so close. So get all that negative energy off of you. No, don't remove the people. Don't ask God to remove the people. Don't ask him to bless you in secret. Don't do any of that. Allow God to do it the way that he wants to do it, in the time that he's going to do it in, and allow your enemies, your frenemies, your friends, and family to see the blessing. There's something bigger in store. Have a blessed Sunday, It's acting kind of crazy out there. I've been getting weather alerts about tornadoes and big storms. So if you're in the ATL area, be careful, be safe. Don't do anything crazy, but still enjoy your Sunday. For everybody celebrating anniversaries and birthdays and graduations and proms, and God bless you. Congratulations. Happy, happy, happy. For those that are going through, my prayers are with you, that you would have peace, solace, breakthrough, and deliverance this week. Amen. I'll see you next week, Sunday at 7 a.m., Kingdom Keys. God bless you.
Let the kings worship the Lord. Let me hear your words of worship. Let me hear your words of worship. Come on, y'all, talk to him. Come.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic. Listen, the goal of the enemy. From knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See, I know that life has challenged you, but the King in me came to speak to the King in you. You were born to rule, and I came to tell you. Let the kings worship him today. Let the kings worship him. Come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic dynasty. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See, I know that life has thrown you some curves, but the King in me, the ruler in me, came to speak to the ruler in you. You were born to rule. And you need to know that there is a King in you. What has happened? The head has become the tail. The lender has become the borrower. What has happened to you? We speak to you today. Is there no King in you? You cry out. Is there no King living in you? Then why do you speak with such low self-esteem?
I know
been through some things. I've been through some issues, but I found my inner King, and I came to help you find your inner King. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a King. I know that some of you have been molested. I know that some of you have been struggling. I know that some of you have been talked about. I know that some of you have got lower self-esteem. But I came to tell you that there is a King in you. I know that
that some of you are struggling with addictions. I know that some of you are struggling with financial issues. I know that some of you don't feel like you're smart. You don't feel like you look good. You don't feel like you got what it takes. But I came to tell you that there's a king in you. I know you don't feel well. I know you don't think you look the part. I know that you don't think you got the skills. But I came to tell you that there is a king in you.
And
if there's a king in you, I want you to stand up and let me know you're out there. Where are the kings tonight? Where are the kings? Forget about what you've been through. You are a king.
Hey,
let the kings rejoice. Let the kings rejoice. You are successful. The king is living in you. The word is in you. Praise him because
there is a king.
You will make it. You are forever a lender, never a borrower. You are forever above, never beneath. You are forever the head, never the tail.
A king is in you.
Let the past go. Look toward the future. The best is still yet to come for you. There is a king in you.